May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1043. Deal gently with thy servant, Lord, and if the rod should needful be, thy seasonable aid afford, my soul in trouble flies to thee. Hymn 1043.
Thank you. From the Holy Word of God, we shall read firstly from the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, reading the first 17 verses, and then from the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 8, the first 17 verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We turn now to the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth a whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offence of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfil the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
May
May the Lord bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us as we would come before him now in prayer.
Dear Lord, grant us now that true spirit of prayer and of supplications, and as we gather together here in thine earthly courts, we gather professedly to worship thee. Oh, but to be a true spiritual worshipper, who worshipeth God in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. O Lord, and as we gather here, we need thy presence. We need thy help. We need thy spirit. Lord, without thee, truly we can do nothing. O, do come to soften our hearts and prepare our hearts to receive thy word. And may Jesus himself draw near and come with us. And Lord, may we prove, as the Apostle James wrote, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. O Lord, draw nigh unto us this night, collectively and personally, that mine eyes are up unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute, but, O, visit us this night with thy salvation. O, may the Spirit be at work, taking of the things of Jesus, applying them with divine power upon the heart. May the north wind blow, may the south wind blow, O, but may the spices flow out. O, dearest Lord, do be very merciful and very gracious, for we are sinners, deep-dyed sinners. We have sinned against thee. We have broken thy holy commandments. We have not kept nor obeyed thy law. But, O, we are guilty through and through. O, not worthy of the very least of thy mercies, and yet coming, pleading for mercy. O, pleading for help. O, pleading for grace, to find grace in thy sight, that thou wouldest be mindful of us, and come and bless us, and come and favour us this night. Lord, thou knowest how we have come, and all that we stand in need of. How true are those words, thou, God, seest me, and seest me through and through. Those hidden thoughts. Oh, the very thoughts of our hearts are all known, naked, and opened unto thee. Lord, remember those who have come prayerfully, those who have come in humble exercise, those who have come with that prayer, we would see Jesus. Those who have come seeking Jesus, those who have come seeking to receive of thy word, those who have come begging a blessing, begging an help, oh, begging thy gracious, merciful appearing. Lord, thou knowest any troubled, tried, tempted one who feels so burdened within, burdened over their guilt and weight of sin, and yet, Lord, have been mourning, mourning over self, mourning after thee. Those seeking souls who long to find thee, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? I sought him, but I found him not. Lord, any such souls who feel to be upon the point of giving up, does Satan tempt thee to give up, no more to call on Jesus' name? Those souls who may feel to be outside of the secret, who may feel to be not of thy dear children, not of thy dear sheep, not of thy chosen, not of thine elect, and cannot see the point of continuing. O Lord, could it please thee to so bless them this night? O those who have come in mourning, may they go forth rejoicing. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Oh, that there might be found some like the Gadarene of old, whom the Lord Jesus cast out that legion of devils, who were found sitting and sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in their right mind, and who must go forth abroad and speak thus, what great things Jesus had done for his soul. Oh Lord, could it please thee to do great things this night in the souls of many that shall redound unto thy honour and to thy glory. Oh Lord, remember those in soul trouble, those in providential trouble, those who need thy help, thy appearing, those who need divine guidance, thy direction. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But grant that faith to look to thee, to trust in thee, and to wait only upon thee. Their strength is to sit still. O Lord, so do remember each one gathered, we pray, for the young and rising generation. Be mindful of them. Oh, look upon them, O Lord, as they grow up and they learn and understand more and more. But oh, we would that they might each be taught of the Lord, taught to love and fear thy name, taught to love thy word, taught to love thy house, taught to love thy people, taught to flee from the wrath to come, but taught to flee unto a precious Jesus. Oh, taught their need of a precious Jesus to save them from all their sins. Taught to come out from among this world and to be separate and to touch not the unclean thing. Taught to walk humbly before their God. Oh, taught to flee from the very appearance of evil. Oh, Lord, remember them, we pray, especially at the schools and colleges. And thou knowest the pressures upon them, the peer pressure. Oh, the ways of the world demanding conformity. Oh, Lord, who keep them from the wicked ways of the world, the ways that lead unto death, eternal damnation. Oh, hedge up their ways. Be very merciful. Implant thy holy, tender fear deep into their hearts. Remember, any who may be seeking employment, we know not. Help them to look to thee. Oh, whatever the state of our nation and the state of the economy and so on, Lord, may they be helped to look to thee. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Remember those in the midst of life, bearing the heat and burden of the day. Oh Lord, remember such, those in business and employment, and those at home with little ones, and those who have to deal with the world. Oh, to be kept from it and from its corruptions and from its vanities and from its lies and cheating and deceits. Oh, to live honestly. Oh, to live before thee, seeking to do that which is right in thy sight, whatever seemingly the outward cost. Oh Lord, remember older friends also, and bless them in their latter days. Oh, be with them still. Help them still. Oh, remember them, O Lord, we pray. And do bless the cause of truth here. Look down in thy great mercy upon them. And bless the church here and each one in the congregation. Could it please thee to add unto them such as shall be saved? Even from this village, those who pass by, what do these feeble Jews? O Lord, thou art able to touch the hearts of any, to be thy holy will. And we pray that prodigals also may be brought back, though they have gone off into a far off country. And yet from a far off country thou art able to bring them back. For I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Remember those unable to be here this night who would be here if they could. Lord, bless them. Remember any who could have been here but had no desire to come. And what we pray for here, we would pray for all the causes of truth. And where thy word is faithfully proclaimed. Oh Lord, we live in sad days, solemn days. We fear days when there's such a withholding of the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, help us each to earnestly cry, take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Remember each of thine own true sent servants. Help each one, strengthen each one, those laboring this night, perhaps for the third time this day. Oh Lord, renew their strength. Remember our ministers in older age and now beginning to cut down on their services because of their infirmities, afflictions and weaknesses. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that it might please thee, the Lord of the harvest, to send forth more labourers. For truly the harvest is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Oh, and where there may be found this exercise concerning the public ministry of thy word in one or another, Lord, deepen that exercise and bring it to fruition. Oh, like Moses of old, that they must be brought forth from the backsides of the desert to show themselves unto Israel. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. O Lord, return with mercies unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem, and do remember thy people throughout the whole earth, those suffering great persecutions and tribulations, those suffering the loss of their liberties and livelihoods, those caught up in natural disasters, as we term it. O Lord, remember each and every one of thy dear people. And oh, again, we would pray mercy upon our guilty land and nation. Oh, how we fear. Fear for the future. Oh, fear for the coming year. Oh, Lord, the dark clouds are gathering thick and fast. The enemies of the truth seem to be gaining ground and control in influence and power. But help us to look beyond all of these things, all of these men and women, to be found looking unto Thee, Almighty God in control, Almighty God upon the throne. Oh, but Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Stem the great tide of sin, may it be, and thus far shalt thou go, and no further in thine evil ways. Preserve unto us our monarchy, and our Protestant constitution, and our religious liberties. Have mercy upon our Queen, and the heirs to the throne. Oh, touch their hearts, help them to set a good example. Now, Lord, we would not multiply words, but do hear us, and hear us from heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. But help us now as we return to thy word. Oh, do shine upon it, we pray, that we may see light in thy light. Forgive us our every sin, and wash all, cleanse all in Jesus' precious blood. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 627. Poor sinner, dejected with fear, unbosom thy mind to the Lamb. No wrath on his brow he does wear, nor will he poor mourners condemn. His arm of omnipotent grace is able and willing to save. A sweet and a permanent peace he'll freely and faithfully give. Hymn 627.
Thank you.
seeking that grace of dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help, I would once again direct your prayerful attention to the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8 and verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8 and verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And it is more the latter part of our text which rests upon my spirit to set before you this night. A most solemn word, a most searching word. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Whoever he may say that he is, or whatever outward profession that he may have, or whatever he may make out himself to be, the Lord Jesus warned of false prophets, that is, wolves, but found in sheep's clothing. The apostle also warns of those who shall creep in unawares, who love not the Lord Jesus Christ, deceivers. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We tried this morning to set before you concerning the work of the Spirit of God in the regeneration of his dear people, particularly considering those words, ye must be born again, for without a spiritual birth there can be no spiritual life. And where there is that spiritual birth, and it follows, there must be that spiritual life. Many, many times do we need to be reminded, those of us we trust who have been called by God's grace, ye walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, it is a walk of faith, looking unto Jesus, looking to him, leaning upon him, trusting in him, hoping in him, waiting upon him, casting all our care upon him. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And let us be clear, we have in our text the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. They are one of the same. For the Spirit proceedeth both from the Father and from the Son. The Holy Spirit, and here, as we tried to mention this morning, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? How solemn, and yet how sacred. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Now, when the Lord delivered his people and brought them forth out of Egypt, there must be that separation. The Lord dealt with them separately whilst in Egypt. The plagues that came upon the Egyptians did not come upon the Israelites, and we think especially of that Passover night. Now, the angel of death would pass over the whole land of Egypt, and that would include Goshen. But the children of Israel, being warned of God, and being taught of God, and by faith obeyed the word of God, took of that lamb, slew it, then took of its blood, and applied it upon the doorposts and the door lintel, according to the word of God. And there they shouted, not just under the blood, but under the word of God, the promise of God, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And there in humble obedience to the word of God, they obeyed, and there was no death. And that night they were to come out of Egypt. And the Lord would have them in the wilderness, there separate from all other influences, from all the nations of the heathen. There they would be found as his dear people. There he would instruct them. There he would teach them. There he would give them his law. Oh, there he would prove them. There he would humble them. There he would go before them. They were to be his people. They were to follow him. And the Lord granted them that cloudy pillar by day, the fiery pillar by night, and he never took it away, despite their sins, despite their murmurings, despite their rebellings, and so on. For God is faithful. A faithful God who went before them into the promised land, and he led them forth by the right way. Oh, but how the Lord instructed them. Well, so it is with a child of God. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And that is the desire of every living soul, even here tonight, to know God as our God, my God, to know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, my Redeemer, my all and in all, and longing to know something of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, we read this morning of those who are brought to the light, and they desire to come to the light, that it may be proven, that it may be shown, may be made manifest, that which is wrought in them is wrought in God. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Oh, but the Lord's dear people, they would be brought to the light of God's word. Oh, that it might be made manifest that they have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that the Spirit might bear witness with their spirits that they are the children of God. Oh, we suffer much by the old man of sin, the unbelief, the carnal mind, the wanderings, the backslidings, the murmurings, and so on. And at times we feel desperately the plague of our own hearts. Can ever God dwell here? Oh, we feel to be so hard-hearted, so carnal, so worldly, so far off, so wretched, so vile. Can ever God dwell here? Well, surely God does dwell here, teaching us these things. Teaching us again and again that we are sinners and that we need a Saviour. Oh, teaching us not to put any trust in self or in self-righteousness, but to flee from self and unto Christ. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I feel burdened to set this word before you here tonight, as it concerns the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Christ and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And we think of that beautiful, precious word, and it's such a comfort to the Lord's dear people, but he giveth more grace. Oh, how the poor, tempted, tried, trembling child of God finds comfort in that word. But he giveth more grace. Bunyan really sets that truth very beautifully in the interpreter's house in the Pilgrim's Progress, where there is that fire in the wall, like a fireplace. And there was one pouring buckets of water upon that fire, of course, to extinguish it, to put it out, to bring it to naught. And yet the fire continued to burn. Indeed, it seemed to burn more brightly the more the one was pouring water upon it. And it was a mystery, and Christian couldn't understand why these things should be, why the fire continued to burn. Until the interpreter took him round the other side of that wall, the other side of the fire, and there was one pouring from behind oil. And you know, naturally speaking, how oil burns. Well, firstly, that is Satan pouring those buckets of water upon the fire. And Satan will ever be an enemy to the Lord's dear people. And Satan will ever seek to destroy your faith, to cause you to make shipwreck of faith, to cause you to give up, to be made manifest as an apostate, as an hypocrite. That wonderful truth, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But there will be a warfare. Oh, dear friends, and you who know and love the Lord, you know there's a warfare, the old man against the new. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. What shall you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies, the old man of sin and the new man of grace. Oh, that terrible warfare. And at times like Gad, a troop shall overcome him. Oh, we feel to be overcome. Overcome by our sins, overcome by our deep doubts, overcome by our unbelief, overcome by the enemies. But it doesn't end there. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last, more than conquerors, through him that loved us. Yes, none can keep alive his own soul, but he giveth more grace. Oh, and how we're brought and taught at times to pray for more grace. You know how the apostle had that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan, which buffeted him, which troubled him, and how he sought the Lord thrice that it might be removed from him, but it was not. And dear friends, don't be surprised if you have a thorn in the flesh, a trouble in your life, something that grieves you, something that burdens you. Yes, you take it to the Lord in prayer. You pray that it might be removed. Well, don't be surprised if it's not removed. And you can't understand why. Why the Lord's permitted it. And why the Lord hasn't taken it away. Remember, we walk by faith and not by sight, looking unto Jesus. Consider him that endures such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted against it, unto blood striving against sin. Looking unto Jesus and what he endured. So this thorn in the flesh, you want it removed. It is not removed. You pray for it to be removed. It is still not removed. You cannot understand why. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. And the answer that the apostle got perhaps will be the same answer that you will get. The Lord will answer your prayer, but not according to your dictates, and not according to the two lines you have chalked down, and not according to your fleshly lust, not according to your carnal mind, but according to his will. My grace is sufficient for thee. The Lord granting grace unto his dear people to help them in every time of need. Therefore will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Oh, that beautiful hymn, such a comfort and encouragement to many tried and tempted souls who feel so cast down. Let me but hear my Saviour say, strength shall be equal to thy day. Then I rejoice in deep distress, leaning on all-sufficient grace. I remember hearing Mr. Ramsbottom speak recently how the Lord's dear people in times of trouble and trial, really they want those wings of a dove like David to fly away from their troubles and be at rest. All trouble comes into their lives, into their business, into their families, into their circumstances. Troubles we cannot cope with, troubles we cannot deal with, and we want to run away. Oh, we want to fly away, we want those wings of a dove to fly away from our troubles, that we be at rest. But the Lord hasn't promised those wings of a dove that we might fly away from our troubles. But you know what he has promised, don't you? Those wings of an eagle to bear us up in our troubles. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word renew, change their strength. From our strength to his strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. But he giveth more grace. More grace of faith. More grace of hope. And more grace of love. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, the Spirit of Christ, see it in this way. Are we not called to be his disciples? Are we not called to be his followers? Are we not called to follow him? So what did Jesus say? And that's the vitally important truth. What saith the Scriptures? What saith the Lord? Is there any word from the Lord? Well, there is. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to anyone here this night. But, dear friends, we live in times when I fear there is not much self-denial. Denying of self. Now, consider the Lord Jesus, who left the realms of glory above to come down upon this earth to be found as a real man. I think in Philippians we read concerning the love and grace and humility of the Lord Jesus. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Consider him. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Really, the whole life of the Lord Jesus here below was a life of self-denial, where he denied himself that he might come under the holy law of God, that he might obey and keep and magnify that holy law of God, that he might work out that robe of righteousness to cover and clothe his dear people, and that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. Like as a lamb before the shearers is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. Oh, he that could have called upon legions of angels to strengthen and help and protect. No, he must lay down his life. Why? To save his people from their dear sins. Now, the Spirit of Christ, surely the Spirit of love. Oh, the love of Christ, that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful love of Christ unto his dear people. He set his love upon them, determined to save, mighty to save. Oh, that wonderful love of Christ. We love him because he first loved us. Oh, remember that. If we have any love unto the Lord Jesus, even in a felt need of him, even in seeking him, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Ah, do we love the Lord Jesus? Well, we love him because he first loved us. But then, what does the apostle go on to say? If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? For we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Marvel not, my brethren, if a world hate you, but there will be that found, that love one to another. All that love in the fellowship of the gospel, that love as brethren, that love wherein we pray one for another, wherein we bear one another's burdens, where we seek to help one another. Again, that denying of self, whether it be denying of our own pleasures, our own time and so on, or even self-pity, putting ourselves out as the Lord Jesus also set that beautiful, perfect example. I often think of that account when he went to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and every impression is given to seek rest, to have a time of rest. And yet he would be hid, but he could not be hid, because a certain woman heard of him. And she came to him, and at first he answered her not a word. And then the disciples, you can understand their natural love to the Lord Jesus. And if he wanted a time of rest, then they would seek to protect him, that he would have a time of rest. So they sought to drive her away. But she also had that real love to the Lord Jesus. And she knew that if she was to receive that help and blessing, it must only come from him. So she could not leave him. And you see how the Lord Jesus so lovingly, tenderly dealt with her. Nothing was too much trouble. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Or that Spirit of love. As Christ have loved us, so we are to love one another
with that Christian love, and how that love can be displayed in various ways, and how it's incumbent upon the Lord's dear people to pray one for another. Many times perhaps we see a brother or sister in need, and perhaps it's not within our capabilities to help in that specific need, and we feel helpless. We would help them, but for whatever reasons we're unable to. Perhaps the case is too difficult, too hard, or whatever, or we daren't put our hand to it, lest we should cause further trouble. But you know that the Lord is able to help. The Lord is able to deliver. The Lord is able to defend. Or the Lord is able to provide. The Lord is able to go before. The Lord is able to heal. The Lord is able to restore. Praying one for another. Or how the Lord Jesus in his prayer in John 17. And again, what a wonderful comfort it is to the Lord's dear people to know that Christ prays for his dear people. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Again, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Love also will lead us to forgiveness. Be ye kind one to another, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Do we truly pray what is called the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do we find it in our hearts, that spirit of love and forgiveness, to forgive those who have sinned against us, who have hurt us, who have upset us? Or can we truly, honestly, not just say the words, but from our hearts, forgive them for what they have done, to forgive and to forget? Now, if we hope that God has forgiven us the multitude and magnitude of our sins, and anyone who knows the plague of their own hearts and the wickedness of their sins and the great mountain of their sins and the enormity of their sins, sins of word, sins of deed, and sins of thought, and so on, to consider that God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us without one sin being left, that the precious blood of Jesus that he shed forth at Calvary cleanseth from all sin. Again, consider him looking unto Jesus at Calvary in his agonies, in his sorrows, in his groans, and all that he endured, where he bore the sins of many. How can it be, if Christ, or God for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us, that we cannot forgive one another. Oh, consider him, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. What he endured, no tongue can tell. To save our souls from death and hell. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Any here tonight under conviction of sin? Those who know the plague of their own hearts and the guilt of their sins, and their hope alone is found in the mercy of God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus, in his atoning blood and in his glorious righteousness. And you hope that you've been forgiven, or you long to know that you have been forgiven. Well, how can it possibly be that you cannot forgive your brother? How can it be? How can you call yourself a Christian if you cannot forgive? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself of his own passions, of his own lusts, of that spirit of vengeance, of that spirit of revenge, that spirit of getting back, that spirit of eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let us touch upon another point. We read it in Philippians. He humbled himself. Oh, behold the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who is Almighty God, and yet for the salvation of his dear people, became a real man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, behold his humility in his life. Remember how he took that water to wash his disciples' feet. How he set that example unto them of true humility. Do not we read that God resisteth the proud? Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination unto God. Yea, God resisteth the proud. Now, if we are the Lord's dear people, then we can say with all certainty, because we have Scripture to back us up, that God will humble us. Humble thyself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. The children of Israel were to remember, as they come to the borders of the promised land, all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Now, that is what the Lord intended to deal with them. And so he goes on, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And the Lord will humble every one of his dear people. And the Lord knows how we need humbling. By nature, our hearts are so proud. so puffed up with pride that swells a poor, weak, sinful worm into thinking himself something. All the time we would glory in the flesh, glory in the appearance. All the time we seek a name for ourselves. All the time we seek all that way in which we can elevate the flesh to be something, to be seen of men, admired by men, respected by men. And yet the way the Lord teaches his dear people, temptations everywhere annoy, and sins and snares oft make me sigh. My earthly joys are from me torn, and oft an absent God I mourn. My soul with various tempests tossed, her hopes o'erturned, her projects crossed, sees every day new straits attend, and wonders where the scene will end. Does that describe your pathway? Believe if you're a child of God it will. For ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. The children of Israel had to come up harnessed out of Egypt. The Lord would lead them forth in the right way, but it wasn't the way they wanted to go. No, they were to learn humble obedience. They were to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Or they were to have that submission and resignation to the holy will of God. Not my will, but thine be done. Though we're determined to have our own will, the Lord will see that he will put a stop to that and grant us that humble submission to his holy will. And so often it is bow down sense and reason. Faith only reign here because we walk by faith and not by sight. Is this, dear Lord, that thorny road which leads us to the mount of God? Are these the toils thy people know while in this wilderness below? Here's the answer. 'Tis even so. Thy faithful love does all thy children's graces prove. 'Tis thus our pride and self must fall, that Jesus may be all in all. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Does not the apostle also write, be clothed with humility? And you know that worst type of pride is that being proud of our humbleness. Wherein a man puts on that outward profession of being very, very humble, and yet deep down in heart, he is very, very proud. Surely if we're the Lord's dear people, he will strip us, he will empty us, he will humble us, he will prove us, he will chasten us, he will scourge us, he will discipline us, he will correct us. Ah, the Lord will have his way, and there is none that teacheth like him. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Or that spirit of true humility. True humility. By nature we can be so selfish. Man by nature is so selfish, constantly thinking about self. And that brings us through again to self-denial. But if our lives are spent minding the things which are of the flesh, that is, the things which are of self, and all the time we're trying to organize and work out our lives to please ourselves, putting self first, considering self, how this may affect self, whether that be self-seeking, self-love, self-pity, self-dependence. Or well might it be said, but the carnal mind is enmity against God. And yet how the Lord strips all the idols from the hearts of his dear people and grants that true humble resignation unto his most holy will. Now,
If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Given that wisdom and help and enabling, we might have spoken more of other effects of the fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ, we read of them in Galatians. The Lord help us to walk them out. How thankful we are that Romans 8 is preceded by Romans 7. Now, I know that makes sense, but you know what I mean. In Romans 7, the apostle there, who no doubt was the most godly, gracious man, who must have been blessed with a great degree of the Spirit of Christ, who must have been a very humble follower of Jesus, a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet listen to his language. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. The Canaanite still in the land. The old man of sin, fighting hard, striving hard, struggling hard. And how he comes to this conclusion. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? All the time we're in this waste howling wilderness, we have the body of this death. I think it was Rutherford who said, oh, that I had not of myself, but Christ. And oh, how much mourning there is in the child of God that we are not what we should be. We are not what we ought to be. We are not what we desire to be. But what a mercy if we can honestly say that we are not what we once were. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Or there will be that daily repentance. There will be that daily godly sorrow which worketh repentance unto salvation. That mourning over our sins, over ourselves, over our failings, over our shortcomings, over our guilt, over our wanderings, over our backslidings. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Looking unto Jesus, and that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness, their daily wash in Jesus' precious blood. Oh, coming to him again and again and again, begging for mercy, begging for pardon, begging for forgiveness. Oh, seeking to be found a true follower of the Lord Jesus. Oh, seeking to be found with that true filial fear. Seeking to be found with that humbleness of mind. Oh, seeking to be found following him, who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. For here we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face.
but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jabez Rutt will preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day, who hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 1088. Shepherd divine, our wants relieve in this our evil day. To all thy tempted followers give the power to trust and pray. Hymn 1088.
now. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.